This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be talking about education, and we're focusing on the Murfreesboro City Schools. Dr. Linda Gilbert is with us today. She's the director of the schools. Linda, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Hope you had a good weekend.
I did have a good weekend. Thank you.
And the weather was just perfect for all sorts of outdoor activities.
It was. It was a good day to work yesterday, too, yesterday afternoon. I drove in the parking lot at Central Office, and there were about five cars there, and I went, oh, we must have a school district here.
A lot of dedicated people.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's what it's about. If we didn't have the dedicated people, we couldn't do what we do.
And you brought two of them with you today. You said this is the brain trust for the schools.
Well, it is, at least around me. That's, of course, we have the principals and the teachers, and which really are the brain trust. But I do have with me Dr. Carissa Brooks, who heads up our reading program and our intervention program. And I also have Karen Hawkins with me, who is kind of the general guru of all things curriculum and instruction. So I thought it might be a good time to kind of round out what we had done last year and to be looking forward to next year. There's this phrase called Common Core coming down the pike that your audience will certainly hear more about, and we'll be involved with, actually, day after tomorrow. We have to be in Jackson at 8 o'clock, so we're going to be a pilot district for the English Language Arts Common Core, and then we started to implement part of the math this last year, so I thought we might talk about that, and I also wanted to tout what we're doing with reading and intervention, because that is something that I'm hearing about across the state and also in the community, because I think we've been very effective with that. So we're just here today to talk about teaching and learning and talk about kids.
So the new word is phrase core, is that
Common
right?
Core.
Common core.
Common
okay.
core. About 48 states, I think about 48, that are moving toward Common Core. It's really a curriculum that will be nationwide, and it's not a certain curriculum as such, but it's an approach to teaching that has more to do with depth than it does width. We've heard for years and years that our curriculum is very, very wide, and we cover a lot of things, but we don't really necessarily learn a lot of things in a lot of depth. And so to be more competitive across this world, we are moving toward Common Core across the nation.
Now, you said tomorrow you're heading to Jackson, Tennessee. What's happening
on
there?
Wednesday, we're heading to Jackson. We're having a half-day training on reading language arts. We are one of several districts that will be piloting the reading language arts Common Core. And I'm going to let Karen kind of talk about that a little more, and Carissa, too. But it really has to do with preparing our students across the nation to be college and career ready. The idea that we are going deeper into learning, so that we're looking at process instead of just having the students be able to answer our math problems and maybe do 50 problems. We're really looking at how mathematics works, really looking at a lot of informational text and not so much fiction but nonfiction, so that our students are able to read for example, technical manuals. So it really has to do with our students being able to apply their learning.
Now, isn't it an honor for a system to be chosen to be in a pilot program?
It is. There are several districts that did volunteer to do that. I think there may be about how many districts, Carissa?
70
districts across the state that will be involved in the pilot. But we wanted to go ahead and really signed on early because we moved to a new textbook this last year, and we really have been working on reading, and we felt that we were just prepared with our professional learning community's work, with the kind of collaboration we're seeing across the district, the approach we're taking to curriculum. We really felt like that we would be ready for this, and our principals endorsed it, and so we're looking forward to it. I think it will give our children a kind of a leg up on what's coming down the pike nationally, and I don't think it will be difficult for us to adapt, especially with our approach to education we've taken over the last couple of years.
Okay, and Dr. Carissa Brooks, the coordinator of reading and intervention, tell us how this impacts your area.
Well, much of the reading instruction up to this point has been covering a lot of material, which Dr. Gilbert alluded to. So one of the examples we used in some of our team leader training last week was the Gettysburg Address. So generally with the Gettysburg Address, students would memorize it. And with Common Core, what we would see is 3 to 5 days of instruction, really getting into the text with close reading, really looking at that original document and what was meant behind the speech, the word nuances, why certain phrases were used. So it's really going deeper and giving ourselves permission to slow down and cover material more thoroughly rather than just memorizing. And it was really interesting this weekend. I don't know how it came up, but we were sitting at the table, and I have a 20-year-old and 14-year-old, and they started saying the Gettysburg Address. And so I said, "What does that mean?" Silence. And I said, "When was it written?" And my son, who's 20 and extremely bright, in fact, he's gifted, said, 1700-something. So we had this whole discussion about how Common Core is going to take that deeper so that maybe when they're 20, they will actually understand why they memorized it, why it's important.
Let's talk a little more about the depth of this, and that is the goal. And I would think that Karen Hawkins' position of curriculum and instruction, this is one that really works in your area.
It does. As far as Common Core, the full implementation for Common Core is during the 2014-2015 school year. But with this, the state of Tennessee has really been very proactive. They're giving us an opportunity to prepare and to move toward these more strenuous standards over the next 2 years. So as a state, they are identifying areas that we have notoriously been weak on a national assessment as far as education, both in math and in reading. And they're saying for the next 2 years, we're really going to focus on those areas in each grade level to help us meet those more rigorous standards in 2014 and 2015. One of the things that we'll see as a big shift is that up until now in Tennessee for several years, when we assess students' knowledge of those curriculums on our TCAP test, it is strictly a multiple choice test. The teachers know what the standards are, they know exactly how to teach those standards, and they go and the students perform on a multiple choice test. These assessments are going to be very different in that they're going to be written response. It's not going to be able to pick the best answer. They're going to have to know it, and they're going to have to know it well. For example, in reading, they're going to have to read a pretty strenuous text, and then they're going to have to write answers and use evidence from that text to support their answers, much like what we had to do in college. We had to read a lot of information, and then we had to narrow it down and report on it. If they give an opinion, they've got to go back to the text and justify that. In math, it's going to look more like an open-ended problem. It may have multiple steps. They may have to look at it. They may have to illustrate what it looks like, draw a model of what it could look like. They will also have to justify their answer. How did they get that? How did they decide how they were going to solve those problems? So when we're get preparing for this, we're really going to start looking at what do we want students to know and be able to do. And that's, you know, we're real good at what we want them to know, but this really gets at what we want them to be able to do.
Dr. Gilbert, I know this is a very competitive area, the world of education. Not only have we been competing with other states and trying to be the best, I mean, we want Tennessee to be the best, but really it is more than competing with other states. We're hearing so much about how the United States is not up there with other countries now. We used to be the top. How long will it take us, do you think, to get on top again?
Well, and I think that there's a big debate about that. I think that we hear all about, and we spend a lot of time talking about where we really are as far as, you know, are we 30th, are we 13th, are we 10th, where are we? I think that the fact is that the approach we've taken, and I hope the approach the nation takes, is our children are not where we want them to be, regardless of what's happening in the rest of the world. And, of course, I understand that we have to look at where we are competitively. But our children are not learning everything that we want them to learn, and they're not able to take that knowledge and apply it. As Karen says, it's really important for us not just to know how to change one light bulb, but for us to be able to figure out what's going on if all the lights in the city are out. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to take the knowledge and the skills that children have, and for those children to be able to bring them together and to create a synergy and to be able to really solve problems that we don't even know exist yet. So it's not enough for our children to be able to take one discipline and have one skill in one discipline and be able to solve one known problem, but we have to have them take many skills and many disciplines and be able to solve those problems that are unknown. So I think that certainly we have been making moves in the state toward that. I think that when Tennessee chose in the No Child Left Behind, when it came about, the state could choose what it considered to be proficient, and Tennessee simply chose too low. And so now we're having to make up for that. I think we are seeing some differences in that already, but I think it is important that we do go deeper. And I think that's going to take some re-education of central office staffs. It's going to take re-education of our principals, of our teachers, of our children, because really we're going to be working with each other to help each other think. Right now, there is nothing, many of us have had nothing in teacher prep or in actual teaching practice that would encourage us to go deeper. We are encouraged to meet certain standards. We are encouraged to be able to answer multiple choice tests. But to actually go into depth and to solve problems like what happens if the lights go out all over Murfreesboro, there's nothing really that trains us for that right now. We're looking at being able to train students for that. And it's going to take some work on our part to really help us rethink education and think about thinking.
And are we needing to start, I guess, really, probably, it sounds like, on the kindergarten level?
Absolutely. And really,
that's probably the logical place to start.
Well, and where we really have to start, Bart, is we really have to start with directors of schools, we really have to start with school boards, we really have to start with central office staff, we have to start with principals and teachers, because we're the ones that facilitate that learning. And that's what we need to become, is facilitators of learning and facilitators of deep learning. And to do that, we have to be able to have deep discussions ourselves to know what questions to ask to help students think deeper. It's not just simply, again, it's not simply a 2+2 kind of question. It is, what is the process that makes mathematics work? What is there about mathematics that makes it work, so that we can have an understanding of the why?
Very interesting. And of course, it all boils down in simple discussions to what Dr. Brooks was talking about when she alluded to what happened in her home, the discussion about the Declaration of Independence. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, I'm sure. And that general bit of information, this and millions of other bits of information, just aren't being, I guess, brought into our family life anymore.
Well, if you think about it, it's one thing to memorize something. It's another to understand the context in which it was written, the author, and what the real purpose of the author was, not what we think the purpose of the author was. What was happening in the world to cause that? What was the impact of that? What would have happened if this didn't, if whatever it is that we've memorized had not been written? So it's really not enough just to memorize, because when we memorize, we're doing the 2+2 again. It is important that we understand the background of why that was written, what happened after that, what resulted from it, why was this so important, what was the impact on lives.
How long do you think it'll take for us to turn things around?
Well, I think we're seeing that already. I think that with particularly, and I'll brag on Murfreesboro's teachers right now, with what they're doing with the professional learning communities and coming together and having deep discussions about a curriculum. We had last week, Karen had representatives from every grade level in, and they were taking the standards and they were taking them apart, and they were seeing what's important, why is this important, what does it look like? When students master this, what does it really look like in artifacts or in assessment? Those are the kinds of discussions we're going to be having with children. So I think that we are preparing with what we're doing in the city and with what several other districts are doing across the state with those deep discussions about curriculum. We're really preparing to model that now with our students. Instead of deep discussions about curriculum, they'll be having deep discussions about the Gettysburg Address, about the Declaration of Independence, about an article they read. And so that you're going to have questions generated by those students about that, similar to the questions that were generated by the teachers last week.
Are changes in language styles and sentence structures and things of that sort that are brought on by texting, is that creating challenges for you?
I'll let Carissa answer that one.
Yes. Yes. One of the most difficult aspects of that is the lack of spelling instruction. When we look at what's happened over the last 40 years in reading, we've really moved toward 90-minute reading blocks, which has taken away some of our general knowledge in science and social studies. So one way to be a good reader is having a lot of background knowledge. So when we look at all the initiatives in reading, all the initiatives in spelling, what we've seen over the last 40 years on national scores are flat. So what we're doing is not working. And one of the things we talk a lot about is the writing that we do when we're writing for school and the writing that we do when we're texting, that formal versus informal writing. And we really see students struggle with that. But we also, that's been over the last 40 years. Texting's only been around for a little while. So we've really seen a flattening of scores. So what we're doing is not working. So this is going to be different, going deeper.
That'll be interesting to see how that works out. By the way, we're going to check on the traffic and weather right now. And when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. And if you have any questions for our guest this morning from the Murfreesboro City Schools, we welcome those calls. 893-1450. 893-1450. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Tangled up in you.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated.
We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Tackle this summer's heat in style with a Ford Mustang convertible from Ford of Murfreesboro. Need something bigger? How about a Ford F-150 to haul your toys to the lake with? There's one with your name on it at Ford. Visit Ford of Murfreesboro today on Broad at the Northfield intersection. You can also surf their deals online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. So go ahead, take a peek at that convertible you always wanted, and give that F-150 a test drive today.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. If you already own a Tag Heuer watch, let our in-house professional watch technician replace your battery and pressure test it. It only takes one day, and it's at half the price of our competition, who have to send the watch off for 4 weeks.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton. Have you had your jewelry professionally cleaned and checked lately? Stop in today for your free checkup.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville, Slugger, and Worth. But at Played Against Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
Good morning. Once again, we have no accidents or stalled vehicles in Murfreesboro reported by the authorities at this time. Lots of congestion. Old Fort Parkway at Chaffin, Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane, I-24 at 96. We also picked up an accident on I-24 west at Old Hickory Boulevard. Could slow you down a bit as you make your way into Midtown. Heads up, Hair Salon is Nashville's original walk-in salon, family-oriented for over 30 years. They're open early and late in 9 different Middle Tennessee locations. Log on to headsuphaircuttingsalon.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We have spotty showers and thunderstorms in the forecast later this afternoon, otherwise sunshine. high temperatures are going to be warming into the upper 90s. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, it's 81.
This is Freedom Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, and we have hot, delicious Otis Spunkmeyer cookies every day. Come and see us, First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, and
Good
home
Neighbor
of Otis
Talk
Spunkmeyer,
covers issues
hot,
you won't hear
cookies.
Anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated. We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. We're talking this morning about the Murfreesboro City Schools. A lot of exciting things happening here. Dr. Linda Gilbert is with us, the director of the schools, along with Dr. Carissa Brooks. And she is the coordinator of reading and intervention. Karen Hawkins is with us. And Karen is the coordinator of, curriculum and instruction. Am I getting that correct? Have I mixed that all up?
That's pretty good.
Pretty close, okay.
And other duties as requested.
Whatever happens, whatever comes down the hallway.
Just do it.
Let's go to the phones here. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I'm going to ask her a question, and this is way on down the road. Now, what does she think about what's going to take over computers when they wear out?
That's an interesting
question. One of the things that we're working on is I think that we recognize that computers, in some ways they replace, and this is going to sound really harsh, so let me explain what I'm talking about here. But I think one of the reasons that we're seeing the change that we need to see as far as curriculum and instruction is in many ways, you're right, the computers have taken over a lot of the jobs that the human brain used to do. And I don't like saying that, but yet we know it's true when we think about everything that computers can do. What we have to be careful of is we don't lose our children's ability to think. That we have to see the computer as a tool for learning, not a replacement for learning. And I think that's really, really important. And I think that one of the things that we're seeing as far as instruction and moving to the Common Core is exactly what you're saying, is to take, yes, we have computers that can do all this marvelous stuff, but yet the human being and the ability of the human being to take that knowledge that a computer generates or a magazine generates or a newspaper generates or a conversation generates or a book generates, and to compile that all together to solve a problem is what we want. We never want the computer to replace the human being. And one of the approaches that we have taken in Murfreesboro City that I talk about all the time and that our teachers also talk about and our principals is this idea of the whole child. So we are not just concerned with the academics, with what the brain can do with the cognitive part of the child, but we're also concerned with the emotional part of the child. We're concerned with the social part of the child. It's important for us to be able to build a society. And you don't do that just with the cognitive knowledge that people have. You do it with the ability to build relationships. And so I'm very, very proud of what our school district is doing as far as trying to work more with parents. And certainly we're working more with each other across the district to share that knowledge. And that doesn't come just with the use of computers. Our kids have to have knowledge about technology, but they have to have knowledge about people too.
Thank you for that question on that, too. I understand there's going to be some pretty good-sized changes in report cards. And who would like to tell us about that and when those changes come effective? Everybody pointed toward Karen Hawkins.
That would be the other duties as requested.
the next thing that comes down the hall. That's in your bag.
That's correct. Next year, we're going to be making quite a shift in the way we report progress to parents. In the past, with the exception of kindergarten, and we've been doing some things differently with kindergarten, in the past that when a parent would receive the grade card, it would say math satisfactory, or math 85, or reading, the same kind of thing. This next year in grades K through 2, we're moving to a full standards-based report card. So instead of getting one reading grade, they're going to get information on probably 30, 15, 20 standards for reading. So we're going to know exactly how they're doing in the area, let's say, for first grade of phonics, or in spelling and vocabulary. What does that look like? When they're reading fiction, how are they doing in that? Can they pick out the details? So each one of these standards will receive a mark for the students. Same thing in math. And we've really broken them down. We've picked the big ideas of the curriculum. So if I'm a parent and I receive that report card and I see, well, my student's doing really well in these areas, but they're struggling in these other areas, then I know how to help them. In grades 3 through 5, it's going to look similar. In language arts and science and social studies, they're going to be broad categories. They're going to be more about how are they doing with comprehension, how are they doing with their language skills, how are they doing with vocabulary, those kind of areas. So they'll continue to get a grade, and they'll get an overall grade in those upper grades for math. So I might get an 85 in math, and I may look down on this list of categories, and there are about 4 or 5, and say, but they're really struggling with comprehension, but they're doing well with vocabulary and spelling, because I can be able to look at the grades of those individual components. In math, we have divided them up into our power standards, and when we use the word power standards, we believe that power standards are the things that really give us the most bang for our buck for our students. These are the things that we want them to remember from school when they leave. We want them to get to a discussion around the dinner table and know their multiplication and division facts later on down the line. So those are big changes. We're going to do a lot of work with parents. We're going to help them understand it. And we're right now, this summer, we've been working with teachers to help them think about what the grading practices for that would look like.
So, and by the way, that was Karen Hawkins. And Dr. Gilbert, with this goal of improving the Common Core, depth in learning as opposed to a width in learning, will this hopefully get the end results that you're wanting?
Yes, and I think what happens with this is our goal is to communicate with parents as much as possible how their children are doing. And so instead of just an A in math, when you get that in a 9-week period, you really don't know what that means. But as Karen has said, if you have that broken down to specifics, then it lets that parent know how the child is doing. And it also opens up communication for parents and children. And I'd like for Karen to take just a few minutes to talk about how we went about creating this approach to the report card, because it wasn't something in Murfreesboro City. There are a few non-negotiables. For example, teachers have to have time to teach. They have to have time to collaborate. We have to have time to work with those children who need extra help. We have to work with those children who need accelerating. So there's some non-negotiables there. But with most things, we come together and we make decisions as a group, and that's what's happened with the report card. So I'd like for Karen to talk a little bit about that process, because it wasn't something that was dictated down from central office. This was something that the teachers came together and they planned. So Karen, would you mind kind of talking about what that looked like as far as, and also you might want to talk about how we came about those power standards, because that was quite a process too.
Well, I think that's probably the heart of it is, and that work started 2 years ago. We brought grade level teams together in all of our buildings, and they sat down and they looked at their math standards, and I affectionately say that Tennessee hasn't seen a standard that they didn't like. So we have tons and tons and tons of standards. And what they did as a group, they sat down and said, what do we want to hang our hat on? What do we want to know that every student when they leave my classroom understands? And then also those grade level teachers talked to the teachers in the grade above them and said, when we send you students, what do they have to know? And so we've narrowed those many, many, many standards down to about 12, 13, 14 standards per grade level. And they came together at their schools, they made a list of those standards, then they came in and worked with us at central office, and we said, okay, for Murfreesboro City School, where do we want to hang our hats? And that's how we developed our power standards. Those power standards rolled into the report card. So now when parents see the math standards and at the end of the 9 weeks, they can see my child's been working on fractions this 9 weeks, and this is how they're doing. And if they're struggling, then the parents will know this is where I can help them. So what we did is we rolled out the report card in the spring. They went back to their grade level teams and shared it. They got input, and then they came back during last week and spent 3 days with us, or I spent 3 days. They spent 1 day each grade level, and we refined those report cards, and they're ready to go.
So basically, it's Murfreesboro City Schools that are raising the bar. We're not following along what's being led by the state.
Well, we had the feeling that best practice points to this, that if you teach fewer standards and you teach those to mastery, rather than just teaching a lot of different standards, then our students are going to be more successful. And that's the work we've been doing in our professional learning communities. And quite frankly, that's the philosophy of Common Core. One of the things the state's doing, they're giving us focus standards. And we were on a conference call across the state, and someone asked them, well, what's a focus standard? And they said, well, it's kind of like a power standard. And we just sat there and laughed and said, great, our teachers are going to know what to do with these. So when we give them those focus standards, we've rolled those into the report card, and they've rolled them into their plans, and they understood what to do with them, because we've been doing this work for 2 years. And quite frankly, I believe that's why we've had the success we've had in math.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
I'm close.
Good.
But what position, though, what you're talking to some people there, what are their positions with the schools?
Okay. One of these persons is the coordinator of reading and intervention, and one is the coordinator of curriculum and instruction. And, of course, Dr. Gilbert is the director of the schools.
Okay.
We're talking about the movers and shakers.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about movers and shakers. We're the doers and workers.
Sir, this is my problem. I had a nephew, Mamasi, right, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He broke all the records in Rutherford County in football.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid, $7-$8 a plate for nieces and nephews. Everybody go to their banquet.
Mm-hmm.
For a cold hamburger and a cold thing of French fries. Boy, that was wonderful, wasn't it?
Right.
But this is the thing. You know, we set double standards in this country so much. I'm sitting there watching this thing that happened with the coach and why it takes so long to sentence people when they're wrong for stuff that bad. But yet, still, little guy be picked up off the street, be sentenced instantly. What my problem today is, my nephew broke all your records. We went to the banquet. Wasn't a word said about his accomplishments. And I had a real big problem with that. Because what I'm saying is, anything in life that we deal with, you know, we're sports crazy in this country. And we see it all the time, everywhere. Whatever they do, it's just, they treat it like gods. I didn't want to be treated like a god. What I'm saying is, we tell people to be the best they can be in school. Be the best you can be. Then you can't get a job. And then someone, a kid like that age, you know when we have banquets? Why do we have banquets? We usually give out awards, right?
So you're saying you're concerned with that our emphasis is on the wrong thing.
No doubt.
It's not football that's going to get us the job.
We're saying
it's how well you can speak and add and things of that sort.
But you know, but we let me say this. I think we rely too much on sports. I think Terry Bradshaw is saying he'll never let his son play sports.
Well, let's see what kind of response we're getting from our local educators. How are your thoughts on that? Do you think we're putting too much emphasis on things that are glamorous and really won't help us along in the future?
I think that the education system is a reflection of society. On the other hand, I think the education system builds society. So I think there has to be a balance. In Murfreesboro City, obviously, we're a pre-K through 6 system. But having said that, it would be really easy for me to pass the buck and say, oh, that's just happening in high school, that's just happening in middle school. But I really believe that the formation of values and beliefs and academic ability happens in the grades where we are involved. And that is why I'm constantly, and we are, and I don't want to use the I word, but we are constantly talking about how much responsibility we have at a pre-K through 6 level. It is our belief that wherever our children are when they leave us, then that is where their success will be in life. And that is the role that we've taken on our shoulders. That's the responsibility that we feel. That's why we've made the changes that we've made over the last couple of years. That's why I have told principals that it is critically important that you keep your best teachers and that your teachers who have potential, that you work with them to make them better. That is why our curriculum people, Karen and Carissa, you will not find them at the central office during the day. They will be out in the classrooms helping teachers, and that's what I want. It's really important that we have that trust process built between the central office and the teachers so that they understand that we're not the hammer that's going to come down and be punitive on them, but we want to help them be the best they can be so their students can be the best they can be. Absolutely, academics are critically important. They are the most important thing that we do. But along with that, it is important that our children are healthy. It is important that they have physical education that is active physical education that isn't about just play, although play is critically important too. And I keep using the phrase critically important because I think what we do in education is the most important thing in the world. So I agree that there is an overemphasis on idolization of certain figures in our society. But we are part of society, and so it is about changing the values and beliefs of society. And we're working to do that, but we will do what society demands. Right now, society is saying that we need to have a greater emphasis on academics, and that's exactly where we're going. But in the middle of that, we don't want to lose the whole child.
And Dr. Brooks, this may be a good place to interject how the city schools are going to be working on intervention with the future.
One of the things Dr. Gilbert mentioned was the non-negotiables is time to teach, time to collaborate, and time for intervention. So what that looks like is every grade level at every school has an intervention block. And they're staggered across the day. And during that time, there's no new information taught. And students are split at the grade level and with interventionists and also special ed and English language learners. They're all, during that time, taught at their level, and we fill in any gaps that they may have in instruction. This is really important when we're talking about core curriculum, when we're looking at going deeper. So let's say we have a fourth grade class, and we're reading a text very closely, going through these comprehension skills. Well, that begs the question, what about the student that's still having trouble decoding the words? What about the student that's having issues even reading the text? So during intervention time, we would pinpoint those problems and work on that during intervention to get them ready for that deep analysis of the curriculum. What we do as a district across the schools is we do what's called benchmark. And so at the beginning of the year, we test all students and determine who's at risk. And once a month in every building, grade level teams meet with the interventionist, the school administrator, I'm there, and ELL, special ed, school counselors, everybody comes together one day a month, and we discuss any child, kid by kid, skill by skill, that's struggling and what we're going to do about it. So we also monitor their progress and see if they're making progress. If they're not, then we change what we're doing. So it's that same, scores haven't changed over 40 years. We don't want to get to the end of the year at TCAP and go, oh, wow, we had some deficits. So we're measuring progress all year long and discussing it and changing what we're doing.
So intervention is going to enable you to actually, as the word it says, sounds like, you're going to intervene and correct the problem before it becomes a permanent problem.
Right, and on top of that, it also allows you during that time when we separate children based on their skills, if we have a group of high students, which we do, they work with a teacher to expand their knowledge and really work toward going deeper, even deeper than we're going in the classroom. So it's not just for the students that are struggling, but also students that have mastered the curriculum. We're always looking at four questions. Number one is what we want students to learn, which are standards that Karen talked about. How do we know if they've learned it, which is the assessment? And then the last two are intervention. What do we do if they haven't learned it, and what do we do if they have? And so we don't just teach to the middle and do those class-wide. We're really focusing on differentiating instruction so that everybody gets their needs met.
Dr. Gilbert, I don't know any other way to say this, but it sounds like the Murfreesboro City Schools is redefining public education. and making the emphasis on quality students, not making everybody the same.
It's really about student learning. And Bob Acker talks about kid by kid and skill by skill. And I know some people have trouble with the word kid, so let's just substitute child by child. But that's absolutely what it's about. And it is about the upside-down triangle that we've talked about so much, that the children come first and then the teachers next to them. So and then I'm way down on the bottom. But the whole idea is empowering teachers, helping our teachers grow. There's an excitement there. There are principals that are excited about what's happening in the district. And it is a focus on the child, on the individual child and the needs of that individual child. And whatever we have to do to help that individual child, we will do that. And you're right, we do have districts that are coming to look at us and see what we're doing.
We're talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools this morning, and they are one of the state schools districts that is involved in a pilot program that their training gets underway this Wednesday in Jackson, Tennessee. We'll continue the conversation. If you have any questions or if you have any comments, call us right now, 893-1450. We have about 6 minutes left, so if you have a question, don't wait. 893-1450. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Don Sutton. Atlanta Braves Baseball is on FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Down home cooking right downtown in Murfreesboro at Jeff Sowell's Family Restaurant and Nana's Desserts on Hancock Street. Open daily from 11 to 6 and Sundays 11 to 5. Jeff's has 18 vegetables daily, 14 meats, including real hickory smoked barbecue. Plus, all you can eat catfish every Tuesday. Jeff Sowell's Family Restaurant and Nana's Desserts at 467 Hancock Street, where MTSU students and seniors get a 10% discount.
We have spotty showers and thunderstorms in the forecast later this afternoon, otherwise sunshine. High temperatures are going to be warming into the upper 90s. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, it's 81.
Are you looking for one product to control all of your insects in and around your home, lawn, and garden? Well, Bonide has the answer. Bonide's 8 Insect Control controls most common home, lawn, and garden insect problems. 8 is effective against more than 100 insects that destroy trees, shrubs, lawns, flowers, vegetables, and fruit. Use 8 to eliminate ticks, fleas, ants, and other home-invading pests. It can even be used indoors on houseplants. 8 kills on contact and repels insects for up to 30 days. 8's available in dust, concentrate, and convenient ready-to-use, ready-to-spray forms. You can get it right now over at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. Ask for 8. The Co-op is on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church. And 8 is also available at Martin's Home and Garden. Martin's is located on Broad, right across from Demas Restaurant.
If you have an iPhone or use an Android, we have an app for both. WGNS AM and FM is everywhere you need us to be, on air and on demand.
Really feel the way I feel? Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450, and how do you feel? 893-1450, how do you feel about our education? Sounds like some exciting things going on locally with education, 893-1450. And this morning on the program, we're talking with Dr. Linda Gilbert, the director of the Murfreesboro City Schools, Dr. Carissa Brooks, and also Karen Hawkins. And they're here to share with us some of the exciting things happening here in our local education system and how we are raising the bar, so to speak, and working together with other state schools, public schools, in a Common Core program. We're one of the pilot programs, and that training, I guess it's been going on all along, but it's going to continue at an even higher scale coming up this coming Wednesday in Jackson, Tennessee. Must make you feel really proud to see all of these things working and coming, moving forward here in Murfreesboro.
Well, it's about the students and the teachers, and that's the bottom line. And while I'm at it, I want to really give a shout out to the support staff, to the bus drivers, to the maintenance crew, to the nurses, to the coordinated school health, to the secretaries, to the educational assistants, to all of those folks that help us to have a terrific school system. Because, you know, Linda Gilbert can leave for a day and the school system will run, but you shut down the air conditioning or you shut down the heating and terrible things happen or the buses don't run. So those folks are just critical, and we don't give them enough credit. And also, Bart, I can't be on your show without thanking our community partners, MTSU, the faith-based organizations, all the nonprofits. We have a camp going on right now at the Tennessee Technology Center for our kids, and it's just Parks and Rec, Police Department, Housing Authority, all of those partners that we've had and continue to just give us an unbelievable amount of support. And so I just really want to be sure that anytime I'm on your program to thank them, because we would not be where we are without them, and they continually give us support and come to us and help us with their children. So just can't say enough about those partnerships and some of the work that Greg Lyles is doing out there in the community. Just really terrific.
Before we leave today, and we're almost out of time, with Wednesday just around the corner and a large group of people from the Murfreesboro City Schools heading to Jackson, what are your hopes, your desires, that will come out of that meeting?
More students learning more. That's the bottom line. That's the focus of it all. That's exactly what it's about.
And Dr. Brooks, what about your thoughts? Here you're working on intervention, you're working on all of these other areas of Common Core.
I think it's really important that as a district, if we, we will, within our PLC model, whatever comes down from the state, we'll be able to handle. You know, people talk about the changes in education, but when you have a good, strong model of collaboration, I do think, no matter what, that we will be able to take that in and do what's best for our students.
And I guess everything is really on Karen Hawkins' shoulders now with curriculum and instruction. That's what it's all about, I guess.
Well, it touches everything we do, and as far as teaching and learning, all those different areas. I think one of the things that we have to be mindful of, especially at the district level, is to make sure that we break it down and that we present it in a way that is understandable and that our teachers can hang on to and go forward with. And we also have to be able to give them the support, the resources, the materials, and the kind of things they need to be successful in their classroom. And I see that as a big part of our responsibility.
Like to thank all three of you for taking your time and sharing it with us this morning and bringing us up to speed on the things that are happening with the Murfreesboro City Schools. Thank you again.
Thanks, Mark, for everything.
Tomorrow at this time, we'll be talking about the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department. A whole lot of folks from that great organization will be telling us about some of the activities during this warm weather period. Stay with us. Much more to come right here on your Good Neighbor Station.